Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Kim Berger, speaker. Today we will continue on our new series of studies, which we have entitled The Goodness of God. And our theme verse for this whole series of studies, six in number, is found in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where we read, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Now you can see that we took the goodness of God, that phrase that is contained in Romans 2 and 4, lifted it right out of the verse and given it as the title of this series of studies. Now today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the Word of God. The Bible itself is one of the greatest evidences of the goodness of God. He has given us His Word. I think of the song that we used to sing in Sunday school. "I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I." And oh, isn't the Bible a treasure? A treasure of the mind of God preserved. God has preserved for us His thoughts in the Scripture. We see His laws, His counsels, His comforts, His assurance, and most of all, we see a revelation of Himself. And we are not left to tradition and lore for our guidance. Tradition can be altered through the medium by which it comes to us. But the Word of God does not change. The Word of God is sure. It's a foundation. I think of some of the verses in the Scripture that tells us that the Word of God does not change. We read, for instance, in Psalm 119 and verse 89, where we read there, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I want to read that verse again. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And then we read the Lord Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 35, where we read there, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The unchanging Word of God. Now, why does the Word of God, why doesn't it change? Now, we do have different versions of the Scripture, and there's a slight difference of opinion as to what really expresses the original language. But the original language does not change. It is there for scrutiny, for study, for those who know the languages, and it has been translated so many different ways, and so many good translations of the mind of God that is contained in the Word of God. Now, the Word of God does not change because it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to be revised. God who wrote it does not change. We read in Malachi 3 and 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change because it doesn't need to. It can't change for the better, because that would constitute it as worse right now. And it can't change. It's unthinkable that it could change for the worse. It can't change. God, who knew the end from the beginning, gave us the Word of God, and it's immutable. It does not change. And that is a comfort to the soul. When we think of the fact that the Word of God does not change, we've got something that's sure. We've got a foundation that is as solid as a rock. The Word of God and what God has said in connection with you and me. What are the blessings of the Word of God? Well, these blessings will endure God to us as indeed the goodness of God. There's salvation. It comes by reason of the Word of God. For instance, we read in John 5 and 24, the Lord Jesus is the speaker. And He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The words of our Lord Jesus were the Word of God. And He says, if you hear my words, if you believe the Father sent me to die on that cross for your sins, and you believe that, you have everlasting life, and you'll not come into condemnation. You're passed from death into life. And then, too, we read on in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, there, the value of the Word of God in connection with our salvation. But what saith it? The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's simply a matter of believing God, believing in the word of God, God that cannot lie and does not change his word, does not revise it. Every book in the world has to be revised. Every doctor book has to be revised with new discoveries. And men have to cast off some of their old thoughts and their old remedies. Everything has to be revised in this world, but not the Word of God. Oh, how wonderful. Salvation comes to you and me when I simply believe God when he tells me that he loved me, he gave his son to die for me, Christ paid for my sins on the cross, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul could say that of the gospel, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And certainly that is true of you and me. Now, it's also comfort for us. We read in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We read there, and the Apostle Paul is writing to these Romans quite a long ways into the epistle. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God preserves in the Scriptures the history of other people who have failed. He comforts us that he will sustain us. This is his promise. And we read also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, that wonderful promise of God there in the last verse of that chapter, that wonderful, wonderful chapter, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul is talking about the return of the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and are remain shall follow them. We will be caught up to the Lord in the clouds of the sky. He's coming in the clouds for us, and we'll be caught up to him. And then he ends that wonderful chapter, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Isn't that a comfort to know that the Lord is coming, and that we'll meet our loved ones on that other shore? And then there's the matter of guidance. Now we read, for instance, in Psalm 119, in verse 105, that wonderful psalm that quotes the word so many times in the Old Testament. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God gives us leading and guidance. Now, this is only three benefits of the word of God. It assures us of our salvation. It comforts us when we're tired, discouraged, when we need help from the Lord. It comforts us. It guides us. Now, it also nourishes us. It is the nourishment of the soul. The Scriptures speak of the Word of God as being food. Spiritual food, of course, not literal. For instance, we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 there, as newborn babes, he writes to his beloved, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And then he also speaks of the meat of the Word, and he speaks of that in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we read there, where the word of God is strong meat. Paul writes to the Ephesians, the Hebrews rather, and I believe Paul did write this epistle. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, that which is the first of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And I'll tell you, the book of Hebrews is strong meat. For he says here, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word of God is our nourishment. We feed on Christ, so to speak. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, you're not talking about literal hunger. A Christian could get just as hungry as anybody else. But it's the hunger of the soul. The hunger of the soul is satisfied when we come to Christ. Now, we can memorize the word, and it will save us from the pitfalls of sin. We read, for instance, in Psalm 119, we go back to that wonderful psalm again, Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, hiding the word of God in our hearts is memorizing it. And it's wonderful how the Spirit of God can bring to mind scriptures that will warn us of danger in time of trouble. And certainly memorizing the word of God has its distinct advantages. The Lord tells us in the 15th chapter of John's gospel, he tells his disciples there, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. For if you were the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. They hated him, they'll hate you. Now he tells us to remember the word and recall it to mind. Go back over it and get its lesson and not let it depart from us. Oh, how wonderful that we can remember the very words of the Lord Jesus saying to us, remember the word. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, all right. Now, we get a proper perspective of the world in this portion because the Lord tells them, the world hated me and it'll hate you. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They put him on a cross. And the world does not like Christ. It does not like to be reminded of Christ. It likes to follow its sin. Now we see in all these benefits of the word of God to you and me as evidence of the love of God in giving it to us that we might enjoy him, that we might really realize anew the meaning of that phrase, the goodness of God. The word will give us a proper appreciation for that, those lovely words, for that phrase, the goodness of God, evidence in the prize and the precious, precious treasure of his word. Our Father, we thank you today for the word of God in his own peerless and precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.